Psalm 14 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in a generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because God, the Lord, is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Seems to be very often when I'm speaking to people that they will say about how strange it is how the world has gone mad and how things just get worse and worse. And very often people will lament when they think of how it used to be and things used to be straightforward and the world seemed to be a happier place. And also people will say, well, where will it all end? It just seems to be getting worse and worse all the time. What's going to happen next? What will it be like for my children? What will it be like for my grandchildren growing up in this chaotic world? And I think it was probably the case that once upon a time you could assume that other people thought as you thought. But now you're more inclined to be scared to say what you think, because no one seems to think like you anymore. Scared to speak. Because if you speak out, you'll be jumped on and you'll be treated with great hostility. I remember seeing television footage, and it was of a Soviet state where the police had been called in to suppress dissenters who were speaking against the government. And I remember one image that struck me was as the crowd dispersed, there was a policeman who was covered in riot gear and a great baton, and he trapped one of the protesters who was trying to run, and he just beat him. And it was just aggression, it was just violence, it was just brutality. There was no purpose. The protest was broken, the protesters were trying to flee. There was just this violence. Now, we don't have that. We have nothing like that. But yet, some of the hostility behind that violence. And if you would even dare to ask a sensible question, you know that you would be shot down as being hateful or intolerant. I wonder if you ask yourself, well, where does this come from? Where does this intolerance, where does this rage, where does this hatred come from? I believe this hatred, this aggression, it's an expression of anger. And the anger itself comes as a result of frustration. And the frustration comes as a result of living in a world that makes no sense. Because the godless man has a world which has no origin and has no order and has no purpose and has no hope. And yet the godless man is confronted with the evidence of God every day. The heavens declare the glory of God. The voice of conscience speaks of the reality of God. The wonder of life. The solemnity of death. So there is conflict and there is frustration, because the godless man is denying God, and yet at the same time confronted with God. And the frustration of that can be expressed with anger, and that anger can take different forms. Sometimes it's more subtle, and other times it's more brutally violent. Remember seeing other footage of Richard Dawkins, and he was in a discussion with someone about whether there was a God or not. And he was trying to explain the origin of life and the origin of everything. And he spoke about there being nothing in the beginning. And as he spoke about nothing, he felt the need to qualify that. So he started to describe the characteristics of nothingness. And as he did, the audience laughed and he got angry and he said, "Why are you laughing?" And the person who was debating with him said, "You're explaining what nothing is like. But nothing is nothing." And so there's this man in all his wisdom protesting that there is no God and having to ascribe attributes to nothing so that the world can be created out of or by nothing. Very few who are truly theoretical atheists like Dawkins, who try to maintain an explanation. But there are many who are practical atheists. And the difference between a theoretical atheist and a practical atheist is this. A theoretical atheist will endeavour to, by intellect, explain all the answers to life. Whereas a practical atheist may accept the explanation of God, but it has no bearing upon our lives. And Psalm 14 is speaking particularly about the practical atheist. It's not the person who speaks out loud. It's the fool who has said in his heart that there is no God. So with his lips, he may pay lip service to the claims of the gospel and to the reality of God. But in his heart, he lives as if there is no God. You see, the problem here is not an intellectual deficiency. It's a moral defiance. And that moral defiance, which claims or lives as if there is no God, doesn't want there to be a God. Because if there's a God, there's accountability. But you see, if there is no God, the world makes no sense. And if you allow your mind to embrace illogical inconsistencies, you will damage your mind. Can't think of a good example, but I was remembering as I was preparing, how my parents would say to me often, "If you keep playing with it, you'll break it. Or if you bend it, you're going to damage it." And that's true, isn't it? There's lots of things in life, and if you fiddle with it, you spoil it. Well, so it is with your mind. If you force your mind to adopt illogical inconsistencies, you will damage your mind. And so people begin to actually think in wrong ways because they've wanted to think in wrong ways. The consequence of denial is to distort and to twist your mind. And there's a judicial element too, in that God will give men up to the foolishness of their own minds. We're told about that in Romans. This solemn psalm is not a psalm of mocking, but it's a psalm of warning. It's a warning not to claim or to say or to entertain the thought that there is no God, because to do so is foolishness. And the contrast then is that you and I are to acknowledge God, and to acknowledge God in all our ways. And if you acknowledge God, the fear of God, it's the recognition of who God is and of the significance of God, of his lordship and of his majesty, the fear of God. It is a framework within which to understand life. We're told the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that doesn't mean that the Christian has an answer to everything in life. But it does mean that we understand the purpose of life. You know, wisdom isn't always having an answer. In Proverbs 17, we're told, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Because we recognize a wise man doesn't always speak. A wise man knows there's a time to be silent. A wise man will hear and will consider before responding. So wisdom doesn't mean that there's always an answer. But the wisdom which comes from the fear of God means that we know that God has the answer. And that God is the answer. The psalm ends with an anticipation of the Lord's coming. And of the joy and of the satisfaction that that will bring. And so, as we sing this psalm, we sing it by way of warning, so that others will heed and consider the foolishness of being against God. That's what an atheist is. It's someone who's anti-theist, anti-God. To set yourself up in opposition with God is to have God in opposition against you. So we sing the psalm as a warning, but we sing the psalm to encourage ourselves too. Because we have this confident expectation that the Lord shall come. He shall appear. And there will be rejoicing. And there will be singing. And our prayer surely is that as we sing this psalm and as we live with the fear of God, that others will be brought to ponder wisdom, and that they too might consider. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we confess with shame that for too long we have been foolish, and there was a day when we too lived as if there was no God. But yet, Lord, in mercy we've been brought to see and to consider, and we cannot boast in our own wisdom that this was found by our own understanding, but rather that your grace was shown toward us, and mercy when we deserved no mercy. Help us then as we sing this psalm, help us as we live our lives to do so with a humble heart. Help us, O Lord, to do so, anticipating the great and glorious day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, of a day which will be full of gladness and of song. And we pray that you would help us then to live well in anticipation of that. Renew our minds. Give us understanding in the fear of God. Help us to consider well before we speak. May our words be weighed, and may the words be helpful. And we pray that we would not speak many and foolish words. Gracious God, instruct us. We're told, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who giveth to all freely. And we pray that we would then be made wise. Hear our prayers and receive our worship, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 14. But there is not a God, the fool doth in his heart conclude. They are corrupt, their works are vile, not one of them doth good. Upon men's sons the Lord from heaven did cast his eyes abroad to see if any understood and did seek after God. They all together filthy are, they all aside are gone, and there is none that doeth good, yea, sure, there is not one. These workers of iniquity, do they not know at all that they, my people, eat his bread and on God do not call? There feared they much, for God is with the whole race of the just. You shame the counsel of the poor, because God is his trust. Let Israel's help from Sion come, when back the Lord shall bring his captives. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall sing. Psalm 14.
Rejoice.